One very important piece of detail in this gospel, that of the crowd asking Jesus, should we stone this woman caught in adultery? One important detail that's there, and it's very easy to miss, is that the line that says, they said this to test Jesus, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. So in other words, the issue that the scribes and Pharisees were bringing to Jesus was not so much looking for justice or to fulfill the Mosaic law. They frankly didn't care about this woman or what she was doing. That wasn't their concern. They could have cared a lot less. Their concern was to try to trap Jesus, to lead him into the trap where he'll answer in one of two ways which will get him into trouble. So if Jesus was to say, yes, we should stone this woman, he'll be violating the Roman law. Because in his time, in that area, was under Roman occupation, so meaning Roman law, and stoning was outlawed. So if they had done this, the Romans would have stepped in and stopped it and arrested the ones doing the stoning. So they would have accused Jesus of being something like an anarchist, someone looking to uproot the law. But if Jesus said, do not stone her, they would accuse him of violating the Mosaic law, of violating the Jewish faith, of violating the law handed down to them. So you can now see what the problem, what the trick was, to try to trick Jesus into getting into trouble. And Jesus pulls the rug out from one of them by saying, let anyone who is without sin cast the first stone. And they're taken aback by this, and they walk away. And our Lord turns to the woman and says, your sins are forgiven. Go. Well, he says, neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again. He has compassion on the woman, but yet he challenges her to not sin again. He forgives her sin, but reminds her that if she was to sin again, she would still have to answer for that sin. But yet it is the mercy of Jesus, the compassion of our Lord, that undermines the tricks of the scribes and Pharisees. And it's this love and compassion that we celebrate as we get into the later stretch of Lent. We're not quite at the end of Lent. We're very close. We're in the fifth week of Lent. So that's why you see the images, the statues, and some of the pictures are been draped with a purple shawl. It's not because we're doing painting in the church, because we're doing that. It's because as we get closer to Easter, we're getting closer to Holy Week. We enter into Jesus' passion, his suffering, death, and eventual resurrection in a deeper way. And that means that the glory of these images, the glory of the resurrection, is appropriately taken away from us. So that's why we don't see these images. And next week is the start of Holy Week. It's Palm Sunday. And in Palm Sunday, it's like a roller coaster ride. We start at the very highs of welcoming Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And then almost right away, we go into the passion narrative. So an up and down movement in the liturgy. So the Mass will be a little bit longer next week. So you might want to bring a lunch just to keep yourself safe. And then on Holy Thursday is the Mass of the Lord's Supper, where we recall the institution of the Eucharist and also the institution of the priesthood. So priesthood and Eucharist are together. And the beginning of what's called the Sacred Triduum, which means the sacred 3 days of Jesus, the Passion, the Death, and the Resurrection. And on Good Friday, we have the Good Friday Liturgy. And on Holy Saturday, we begin the Easter Vigil, the mother of all vigils. It's much longer than a so-called normal Mass. But it's meant to be that way because we're recalling in the scriptural readings how our Lord was foretold in the scriptures by the prophets. And leading up to the Gloria, where we acknowledge, we remember the resurrection, and we celebrate the resurrection, everything's made new. The statues are uncovered, there are flowers around the altar, the Easter water is blessed, and a few of the candidates are welcomed into the church. And then we begin the Easter season. And so this is a time that we are meant to enter into, in a liturgical way, but also into our hearts, to be with Jesus, to imagine ourselves at those events. For us as Catholics, in the liturgy, this becomes real because we're not just remembering, we're not just imagining, but we're actually entering into these events. The meaning of our liturgy, the Mass, is about entering into the real mystery of Christ so that we're not role-playing, we're not just recalling, we're actually taking part in it. So as we continue on with Lent, we're not quite the home stretch, but we're almost there. Let's imagine ourselves as coming to Jesus, walking with Jesus in these events. Because Holy Week is a very short week. It's a busy week, but it's very short. And so if you blink, you'll miss it. But don't hesitate to enter into, to walk into Holy Week, because it is the celebration and the memorial of our Lord's love for the human race, our Lord who gave himself, body and blood, soul and divinity, for our salvation.